Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but to welcome to the program four exciting, talented, witty, clever players of this game who are going to display their verbal dexterity and wit and knowledge as they talk on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four are Stephen Fry and Fee Glover and Sue Perkins and Paul Merton. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds are up. So let's begin the show with Stephen Fry. Oh, yes. The best way to greet someone. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, I think warmth is important, but short of sexual lubricity or lubriciousness, a kind of enthusiasm and passion, politeness, politesse, a little element of Höflichkeit, as they say in German, always goes, I think, a long way when greeting someone, whether a friend, a nodding acquaintance, or a complete stranger. Watch a cock is not probably the right way to do it, nor would I say sup, as young people like to do, which I believe is short for what is up. So, greeting has become, if you like, a rather old-fashioned form of etiquette. It's almost not necessary these days to greet people, it seems. You simply nod your head and give their Christian name. I'm in no position to deprecate this. It may be the very best way to greet. Greet, incidentally, in Scottish means to mourn, to lament. A dirge is a greet. That's quite irrelevant in some respects, but it's still relevant to the word on the card. And that's all that I have to do in order to speak for a minute, I hope.
Well, what a brilliant way to begin the show. Someone took the subject, in this case Stephen Fry, went with it for the full 60 seconds, and you not only kept going without hesitation, repetition, or deviation, but you get a point for not being interrupted and a bonus point for speaking when the whistle went. 2 points to Stephen Fry and none to anybody else at the moment. So let's go on to the... Sue Perkins, would you take the next subject? Loyalty cards. 60 seconds starting now.
Loyalty cards are a way of simply saying I don't get out much. It used to mean a swearing or allegiance to country, state, a lover, something portentous. Now it simply bleats, I go to the same place every day and might get a couple of quid off after I've lashed thousands and thousands. I repeat, thousands. I deserve it. Elementary error.
Stephen, you spotted it first, so you press first, and you've got in with 36 seconds to go on loyalty cards starting now.
I think it was on this very fairy program. Oh. Yeah.
So, Paul, you had a correct challenge, and you have a point for a correct challenge, of course, and you have 34 seconds still available. Loyalty cards starting now.
I remember when I was 16 years old, this man handed me my national insurance card and said, it's very important that you keep this number to your committed to your memory. And I have, in fact, but I realise now there's no point in me trying to say this, because it would probably be some sort of security lapse if I was to tell you that my exact...
Sue challenge.
Hesitation, although I was holding out to actually hear the number and writing it down.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get it because you've got in with a correct challenge. And 18 seconds are still available. Loyalty cards, Sue, starting now.
I have a Nectar card, and to this day, don't have a clue what it entitles me to. It fills up my wallet, occasionally gets dusty. I present it in the wrong stores and am met with frowns. We don't take that here. I presumed I might be able to get money off. Sadly, that's been somewhat lacking. Occasionally, I'll...
So, Sue Perkins was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and has moved into second place behind Stephen Fry, just ahead of Paul Merton and Fee Glover. And Fee, we'd like you to begin the next round. Crawling.
Ooh.
60 seconds starting now.
Crawling is one of those things that it's very, very...
Oh. She's only played the game
I'm
once
just copying
before.
I'm just copying Stephen.
Sue, you challenge first. Crawling, 56 seconds starting now.
I have crawled twice in my life. Firstly, as a toddler. Secondly, as I approached my 40th birthday. What a night that was. I ended up on Hampstead Heath, remarking upon a slow-moving hedgehog coming towards my line of vision. It was then I realised I was on all fours, mimicking it. I was delighted there were no members of the Heath Constabulary ready in...
Fee challenge.
Two Heaths.
Yes. I think they're called Heath Rangers, by the way. They're not constabulary, but it doesn't matter.
I do think
that. That's very camp, Heath Rangers.
Do you often get a torch shone in your face?
They told Nicholas they were Heath Rangers.
Yes. Told him it was a torch.
It was the sound of belt buckles hitting the ground that should have warned you, I think.
Would you kindly explain what you're doing here, sir? I lived at one time with my family on the edge of the Heath and the college there, and the police used to come round and we used to chat to them. And he said, you know, over in the bushes there, he said, so you'd be surprised some nights, the people we get over there, you know, doing naughty things. He said, I'd want to say more because you know, the children are around. He says, but you'd be surprised. We get them and they're up to no good at all, these fellas. And, you know, they're doctors and lawyers and solicitors, you know, and
they're
vicars and all kinds of people. I thought that was rather funny, but it doesn't really matter.
There's a very sweet story of Alan Bennett, who was working in the Heath, taking notes, thinking, you know, composing about plays and someone. And someone came up to him and said, have you got a light? And he said, no, I don't smoke. and the film went, oh, OK, and looked at him and walked away, and then Alan suddenly realised he'd been propositioned, so he called after him, but thank you!
Brilliant. Fee, you challenged on Heath. You
yes,
did.
I did.
Yes, come back to me now. Right. Yes. 34 seconds, again. Crawling Fee, starting now.
The A303 is an absolutely miserable road.
It's a cruel mistress. I'd travel on the A30 if I were you. It's a much easier route.
If you're coming on just a minute, avoid the 303.
Yeah, avoid it at all costs.
But I must, out of fairness to the game, give the to Stephen because he challenged first. Crawling is with you, Stephen. 31 seconds, by the way, starting now.
Sycophancy is a kind of crawling, toadying, flattering, pandering. Has an interesting derivation. It means to show figs. It seems in Greek days, those who displayed that fruit to potential buyers were immensely obsequious in their manner and so were called that name. Sycophantic is, of course, the adjective of it. Crawling is not regarded as a very attractive human quality. In fact, many of us regard it as, frankly, somewhat unappealing.
Sue Challenge.
Repeated regard. There were two regards.
Two regards, yes. Well, listen, Sue, and you've got him with 3 seconds to go on crawling, starting now.
Nobody bothers to crawl to me. I am seen as someone who might...
So Sue Perkins speaking as a whistle win, gained that extra point, has moved forward. She's taken the lead ahead of Stephen Fry, Paul and Fee, trailing a little bit. Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is my musical abilities. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
When I was 7 years old, I was a bit of a child prodigy. They used to see me playing on the linoleum. And then when I went to school, I was given a ukulele and a violin, and I was asked to choose which particular instrument I would like to play.
Sue, you challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. So you've got him with 47 seconds on my musical abilities, Sue, starting now.
I won't lie, I'm committed to music, but I can barely play a note. I falter, particularly with the piano. I started learning at the age of 6 with a woman called Mrs. Green, who was possessed of one singular tooth, and she would whistle through it as she demanded I play endless scale.
Stephen challenged.
A play.
Yes, she was playing. So, Stephen, you've got him in 31 seconds on my musical abilities, starting now.
Sadly, I have Van Gogh's ear for music, and yet I adore it. It is one of the passions of my life. I wish that I could express it. I feel like a bird that cannot fly, a fish that is unable to swim. Inside me is this powerful impulse for the deepest of all the arts, I believe, and yet I simply do not have the capacity to sing or to play or to drum.
Fee Challenge.
Oh, well, I think there was a play. Did you play too much?
Not that I remember, but you may well be right. I Nicholas will remember, of course.
He repeated "or" three times.
I certainly said "or" a lot, didn't I?
So,
can I nick your all?
Right, you nick your all. And you've got 9 seconds, Fee, on my musical abilities starting now.
It will surprise many of you that I used to play the oboe to a grade 8 standard, which is why I have got crushingly appalling teeth, because...
Fee Glover was then speaking at the Whistle Grain, gained that extra point, and she's moved forward. She's in third place behind... Stephen Fry and Sue Perkins still in the lead. Stephen, this is an interesting subject that's been chosen, probably especially for you. It's 36-letter word. It's hippopotomonstros sesquipedaliophobia. I don't know whether you can pronounce it. You've heard of it. So will you talk on that subject starting now?
I think it's hippomonstroso sesquipedaliophobia, which is a fear of long words. Sesquipedalian is a long word, of course, and I've said long words twice, probably.
All you can.
It was a repetition of long words.
That's right, yes. And there are 49 seconds for you, Paulon.
Sorry, what was the subject again?
I knew you were going to do that. Hippopoto monstro sesquipedaliophobia. You're writing it down, are you?
I'm not. Writing it down would be pointless.
You're right. You have 49 seconds starting now.
The fear of long words, as Nicholas has just pronounced, is one which I share, because often language is used to obscure meaning or perhaps to indicate some other direction that the speaker wants you to go in that is perhaps camouflaging...
Oh, yes, Stephen, challenge.
Two perhapses.
Two perhapses, I'm afraid, yes. Stephen, you've got 34 seconds. Tell us more about hippopotomonstroscopicabidaliophobia in this game, starting now.
Wants to break the thing down. It comes from the large river mammal, added to a sense of monstrosity, and the Latin for 1.5 feet, which means prolixity, using sophomoric, overlong, if you like, constructions. It's not, again, considered appealing. It's showing off. Cigar store words the Americans prefer. Little ones, bitty ones. But we... Oops.
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of ones.
Yeah.
Little ones, bitty ones. Right. 9 seconds for you, Sue, on this subject, starting now.
I have recently diagnosed myself with a phobia of pronouncing the word for long words. I am...
Fee Challenge.
Oh, well, it's words, but it's words in the word thing anyway.
Word and words.
Yes. Words and words. Sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologise, Anne. We'd love to hear from you. Sue, you've got 2 seconds on hippopotomonstrosesquipedaliophobia. And 2 seconds starting now.
I actually met a hippo once. He was absolutely charming.
Sue Perkins was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, has increased her lead at the end of the round. And Sue, it's actually, we're back with you to begin. And this subject is what you can find in my local library. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Now, Nicholas, I don't want to teach you to suck eggs, but what I find in my local library are books, mainly for people to take away and borrow. They can open the doors, present a card, and then leave with nuggets of literature, bound in plastic, so ne'er a spill should tarnish their incredible cover. For those who have tunnel vision, there are also volumes that will allow them to read at some distance. My grandmother used to love a Catherine Cookson from a library. She would mount it at the end of her long hallway and still, with those uncataracted eyes, be able to make out even the most nugatory of vowels. It is an incredible place of learning. We must fight to make sure that no government removes these accessible institutions. Which gain those who have no record. libraries.
Sue, your timing was impeccable. You not only kept going without hesitation, repetition or deviation for the full 60 seconds, and you've got 2 points, one for not being interrupted and one for speaking where the whistle went. And Fee, it's your turn to begin the subject, making up your wedding vows. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I think it would be a very good idea for everybody to make up their wedding vows on a purely individual basis and to be a little bit more realistic about what it is they're expecting from a lifetime of unity. I would break this down into days of the week and I would say, dearest Rick, husband of mine, on a Monday night, would you mind terribly if I came home smelling of gin and tonic and disappointment? To which he would say, I don't mind at all. He would then say, do you mind if on Tuesday evening I might arrive back at the front door of our delightful abode smelling...
Two smellings.
I smelt, didn't I? I did. I went withy. I went off.
You put a bit too much odour into it, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did, yes.
Right, Sue, a correct challenge, 26 seconds, making up your wedding vows, starting now.
If I were to get married, I would choose not to obey. Equally, I would opt not to love or cherish either, because I'm a capricious sausage.
Paul challenge.
What's wrong with either?
I've gone off him.
Have you? Sorry, is this on?
So an incorrect challenge then, Sue, you've still got making up your wedding vows, starting now.
It's a new vogue for people to suddenly freestyle when they get to the altar, less acceptable in heterosexual liaisons, which are sanctioned by the Lord above. However, if one goes off-piste sexually, you can pretty much do what you like. You can get married in a taverna with people singing...
So Sue Perkins is truly on song today, and she got another point for speaking as the whistle went then and has increased her lead over Stephen Fry, Paul Merton and Fee Glover in that order. And Paul, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is the American Dream. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The American Dream. The Americans believe in the American Dream, and I suppose if you give it a certain amount of credence, why shouldn't it work for you? The American Dream is that anybody, providing they're born in America, can rise to the position of President of the United States. But, of course, it's not as easy as that. Some people are in tribe...
Stephen Chance.
Well, he rather fell apart, I'm sorry to say. It was good. I liked it. And then...
You're covering up your acid remark, aren't you?
Right. Yeah.
He paused. And so you've got a correct challenge, Stephen, a point for that. 42 seconds, the American Dream, starting now.
Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of the United States of America, used the phrase manifest destiny to describe that sense that America must always push forward, that it's a land predicated on progress, on movement outwards, on gaining. Also, of course, I suppose there's a sense, isn't there, as Paul has already intimated very accurately, that anybody, no matter who they are or where they were born, from what circumstances they sprang, might rise to the highest office in the land. From the smallest backwoodsman to the little urban slum dweller, there is that faint possibility they could become foreign secretary or secretary of state, as they're known. That secretary said, oh, dear!
Oh, you challenged.
A repetition of secretary.
Yes, exactly. Yes, well done. It goes for so long, this is the agony of this game, isn't it? Going for so many seconds, you get nothing for it. But Paul got in with 5 seconds to go on the American Dream, starting now.
I am as disappointed as any of you that there are only 5 seconds left. I really don't know how to make it up to you. Walt Disney.
So, Paul Merton was then speaking, was to win, gain that extra point. He's moved forward. He's just ahead of Fee Glover, just beside Stephen Fry, and they're all training Sue Perkins a little. Stephen, it's your turn to begin. Now, we've had the subject of the best way to greet someone. We'd now like you to take the subject of the worst way to greet someone. You have 60 seconds as usual, and your time starts now.
Probably the worst way to greet someone is with disappointment and, if you like, acidy, a sense of not caring who they are, not really wanting to know any more about them. Wouldn't that be rude? Impoliteness is perhaps the bane of our life. I do think sweetness of nature, cheerfulness and optimism are much disregarded qualities in human nature, and they begin with a greeting. So let's remember that the worst way to greet someone is as if you don't care who they are. You should matter. They should matter. Oh, dear, matter.
Sophie, you Jennifer.
Yes, repetition. It matters.
Too much matter. Sophie, you've got in with 27 seconds to go on the worst way to greet someone, starting now.
Swearing at somebody is definitely the worst way to greet somebody, and it's a...
For Stephen Challenge.
Two somebodies.
Yeah, there was two somebodies.
Oh, in such a short space of
time. Oh, I know. It was cruel of me, and I feel horrible. And yet...
And yet.
Yeah. Stephen, shall we give you a point for a correct challenge, but leave it with Fee, because she hasn't played the game much before.
I think you're right. Let's patronise her. I agree.
You are patronising me now.
I'm over here.
Can someone patronise a man four times his age? I suppose you can.
You're going too far now.
It's only three times.
I'm in trouble now.
The only trouble you've got is I'm taking the subject away from you.
Yeah, I deserve
it. I'm going to give Fee the benefit of the doubt and say there are 22 seconds on the worst way to greet someone starting now.
I didn't really want it back, but anyway, now I've got it. I was going to talk about swearing and say that...
Sue Challenge.
There was a metaphysical issue of not wanting it. Well, that's not in the rules. Swearing. Repetition of swearing.
No, she talked about swear before, didn't she?
Yeah, she swear.
Forgive me.
She swear. And this is swearing.
Swear. Yeah.
So, I'm wrong. I'm an idiot. I'm a fool. Yes. I'm a charlatan. Goodbye.
So, an incorrect challenge. Fee, 17 seconds, the worst way to greet someone, starting now.
I'm going to forget about the profane words that might be used as the worst way to greet someone, and instead I'm going to dwell on hand signals, which, coming from the world of radio, as I surely do, is often a very effective way to say to someone, this is the worst way to greet you. I will spare you because you look like such a delightful audience.
So, Fee Glover was in speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and she's moved forward, but she's still in third place, just ahead of Paul, behind Stephen, and Sue's still out in the lead. And Sue Perkins, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, a nice subject. Georgian architecture. Tell us something about it. Not an easy topic to talk about, but a lovely image it conjures up. With 60 seconds starting now.
My favourite architecture is Georgian architecture. Who can't but admire the lavish, epic proportions of those beautiful country houses? As they do, sat in exquisite parkland, the feature of so many Jane Austen novels. I love Palladian grandeur, the sense of pure space that you can inhabit. You walk into a hallway with its vaulted ceilings, the width of halls, despite the fact the Victorians were yet to come with their lavish gowns. One could slip through so easily in an Empire line dress. It shows a commitment to the ample. It says, here I am, imperial monstrosity, that I could wander through architraves with so much space between...
Stephen, what are you talking about?
It is physically... It's physically impossible to wander through an architrave. An architrave is a solid...
All I can say is thank you.
No, the architrave would be above and you may wander underneath it, but not through it, right? Well, listen, Stephen, 12 seconds, you tell us something about Georgian architecture, starting now.
Elegance, harmony and proportion, I suppose, are the hallmarks of great Georgian architecture. Within urban planning, they really did contribute extraordinarily to this capital city, in which we're speaking even now, the square...
So, Stephen Fry, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point. He's moved forward, but he's still in second place, ahead of Fee Glover and Paul Merton, and Sue's in the lead. We're moving into the final round. Right, as we move into the final round, Fee Glover and Paul Merton are equal in third place. They're a few points behind Stephen Fry, and he's still 3 or 4 points behind Sue Perkins. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is offending people. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Offending people, sometimes it happens deliberately. Often it can be something that's accidental, or you might offend somebody because they don't like the look of you as you walk down the street, the cut of your jib, the shape of your nose, the silhouette that you throw against a public building may be complete anathema to them. They may think to themselves, you are an ugly human being. You do not deserve to walk across this earth. I'd like to take your miserable neck. Mind you, I've had some other appearances on Gardener's Question Time that went quite better than that. Going too far. Too far. Too far.
You were going too well, going too fast,
going
weren't
too
you?
Fast.
You couldn't keep the pace up.
No.
Right. Sue got in. You went for 30 seconds. Well done. But Sue got in there with... what was this challenge, Sue?
Hesitation.
Yes, that's right. 30 seconds. Well, I have to ask, in case it's something different, you see. 30 seconds. Offending people starting now.
I don't like to offend people, and in fact, I'm pretty timid in real life, but sometimes just the cut of my jib, as Paul was saying, can cause umbrage. There's a certain sense that women should disport themselves in a traditional manner, which I don't do, not by deliberate ploy, but simply I can't. I'm not someone who defers, can be demure, look pretty, sit in a corner. No, I'm yap and other words like that. But... it's my garrulous nature which sometimes can cause offence. I'm no wallflower.
Right. So Sue Perkins came going to the whistle when gained that extra point for doing so and brought the show to a close with a fine panache. Let me give you the final situation. Paul Merton, who has been known to excel and win on many occasions, finished in a slightly strong fourth place. Fee Glover, who's only played the game once before, filled in a magnificent third place. Stephen Fry, who won last time with these four were together, is in second place, but out in the lead, and nearly 5 or 6 points ahead of Stephen, is Sue Perkins. So we say poo.
We say poo.
I'll tell you what actually threw me. I was about to say, and there were four people in the front row with their hands like that, just ready to clap, and it just threw me for a moment. So we say, out in the lead, and so we say, this week, Sue, you are our winner. Thank you. So it only remains to say thank you to these four fine, exciting, clever players of the game, Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, Fee Glover and Stephen Fry. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds elapsed. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre who've cheered us on our way magnificently. So from them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, thank you, but don't forget, tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute! Yeah.
Just a Minute returns for the next series in August.